The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
We're back. What's up, people? Welcome back to the Gotham After Show. Today we're going to talk about season 3, episode 7, Red Queen, briefly, then right back into episode 8, talking about Blood Rush. Do me a solid, bring your butts over here.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We're just gonna nod our heads to this.
Yes, the originals are back, minus one, the lovely Monts. But today is just me and Steve chit chatting, guys. What's up? Welcome to another episode of Gotham After Show, season 3, episode 7/8. Because we were not here last week due to Halloween festivities. I'm your guy, Michael Drew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael E-A-L. And I'm here with my good teammate and friend, Mr. Steve Kaufman. What's up, homie?
Hey, thanks for having me. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. We have a lot to talk about.
I'm sorry, I'm doing my solo.
You're just rocking out.
All right, guys. this was a phenomenal episode. Hey, it's good to see you. You know, we haven't been here for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and let's just embody this. It feels good to be back in these. I mean, it's been like 3 weeks for me.
I've done one of the last 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about our attendance live on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, let's talk about this past weekend. I think we both had an interesting Saturday. Real quick, we both went to Kevin Undergaro's
50th birthday party.
It was a nice shindig. It was fun. But while there, I had a quick and brief interaction with the insane Mr. Barnes himself. Well, as of today's episode, Michael Chiklis.
He's a serious dude. I
saw him over there. Like, it was a nice little shindig. You know, there are celebrities and after buzzers. Everyone's eating, drinking, liquor everywhere. And the moment I got in there, I saw him quickly. And, you know, I got a little nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Only because, you know, I don't want to.
I got a little like.
He is intimidating.
He's like an intimidating dude.
He's and this is why I'm gonna say he really is intimidating, because I after, you know, after about 2 drinks, I got the liquid courage in me. Only because I don't want to bother him.
Mm-hmm.
So but I did anyway. So I approached him and I said hi. I said we do the Gotham After Show, and it somehow began as a hey, I'm a fan. Our show, you know, your character's phenomenal, you know, trying to angle it like, hey, maybe we can talk about your character one day. And then, but it somehow took a right turn. This could have been the liquor in me. It took a right turn where we started talking about sports, right? And this is why he's a real dude, because he didn't placate. He wasn't like, hey, oh, you like sports? I like sports. He got real on me. Like, there was a point where I said, because he's from Boston. Mm-hmm. And I told him that, you know, I'm a Connecticut guy, but I don't like any of the Boston sports teams. And him, being a true Boston sports fan that he is,
flipped over a table and punched you in the face.
He didn't flip the table, okay. But there was this face he made, like, oh my god, this guy. And then he just told me straight up, like, what is it with you Connecticut guys? You're from New England and you don't like sports. And it's like he read me my rights in, like, kind of betraying New England lore. And it was cool, man. Like, we had a nice little... He was really cool with me. Mm. But he was real. Like, it was, like, he was literally chopping me down in terms of sports, letting me know what it was. And his wife, he pointed to his wife, okay, because I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. He points to his wife, and she starts peeling off Miami Dolphin members off of the 1972 Miami Dolphins. Aside from the sports team, members of the team that I already know, she was peeling them off, like naming members of the sports team that I didn't even know. And that was my little interview with Michael Chiklis. And then I tried, thinking of the after show, I tried to veer it in our direction. Mm-hmm. And I asked him about the show, and I asked him, you know, what's going on with the characters. I was trying to see if maybe I could get a spoiler or two. You know, I thought it'd be cool if I brought a nice little exclusive. He's hard nosed.
Yeah, that dude didn't say anything.
That went nowhere. Like, yeah. He looked at me straight in my face, like, nah, I'm not, no. But he did say, this was Saturday, so this was before tonight's episode. He did say that the next two episodes, it's going to get crazy. That's all he said to me.
And that's pretty much what we're seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So when we watched tonight's episode, I was like, oh, yeah, this is what he meant. Like, he said, listen, next two episodes, it's gonna get crazy. That's all
speaking,
I got.
Speaking of getting crazy, I'm pleading the fifth on anything about Saturday's party.
Oh, yeah. Free liquor.
Whatever.
We'll do that.
Whatever pictures are on social media, that's what happened. That's what I will confirm. Everything else.
Free liquor.
None of your business.
It was a keg party. It was good. It was good stuff. Okay, so what we're going to do is, because we missed last week, we're going to do briefly, we're going to touch briefly on episode 7, Red Queen, and then we're really going to get into episode 8, because today's episode, man, tense.
Yes.
Tense. All right.
A couple people in the chat have been talking about how this episode's a lot better than last week's episode.
I thought
they're both great.
I thought they're both good.
I think you stack them up, this one.
This one, it's because...
Because Barnes, we're not into it yet, but Barnes kind of becomes Batman. Becomes the hero the city needs. And this city needs just literally somebody like, I'm the law.
I wish the kegger was this Saturday. So I could have seen this episode first and then had a conversation with him. And then be like, dude, you threw someone through a wall. Sorry, spoilers. All right. So episode 7, Red Queen. We'll cut through it real quick. I guess it's pretty much after the whole Vicky Vale, sorry, back at it, Valerie Vale gets shot and wakes up in the ER. she dumps Jim, and then Jim goes on his quest to find the Hatter. Then he gets the powder thrown in his face, and then he hallucinates. I'm going to cut through it real quick.
If there's anything
you want to talk about, if anyone in the chat, if there's anything you specifically want to talk about episode 7, let us know.
I just want to jump right into the hallucination.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a lot of costumes in that elevator. That was so perfect for her.
That was such a good back and forth, yeah.
Everything about that, and like kind of like a peyote trip, where like, mm-hmm. he had like a soul-searching peyote trip where mm-hmm. he comes out of it and is just like, yep.
Yeah.
I love Law and Order. And I want to be a cop again.
Did you see the very, very ending of it, everything, when he ended up with his father in the car and then the ring came out?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'll see later on in episode 7 when we see the very end, the woman that meets Cobblepot at the party.
Yeah.
She's having a meeting with another guy who's part of the Court of Owls.
Mm-hmm. And
he has a ring. Is that the same ring that the father had?
I believe it's not.
It looked very similar.
It seemed likely that it is. I don't know. With Court of Owls, it's going to take all year. It's going to take seasons.
But is it indicating that Jim Gordon could be the descendant of an original family of Gotham?
I think we all kind of figured that.
Did we?
I just never thought he was
like his fam. Like he could be part of it, his fam could be a part of essentially
one of the five families of Gotham
who started the Court of Owls.
Possibly.
I'm guessing that's what they're trying to indicate.
That would get weird.
But that's what's on the table right now. All right. So yeah, that was pretty much Jim's story. All right, and then at the very end, he comes back. He joins back.
Well, and he gets saved by. Dr. Not Falcone.
Mario.
Dr.
Mario. It's Mario Falcone.
Is he actually just he goes by Dr. Falcone?
I don't think so.
I've never heard him. It's weird. I've never heard them say it.
They keep calling him Mario.
Yeah, they just keep calling him Mario. Maybe Dr. Mario. But but he saves him reluctantly. Or not reluctantly, because he's a fine doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out he has a lot of angst over the Tetch situation, which is
good.
Weird. This angst carries over two episodes, so we can bring it up now.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who thinks everyone's acting pretty unreasonably to how Gordon handled that situation? Should he have said nothing?
Well, I mean, I would figure that if I was Mario, I'd be happy that he tried to. That would mean he doesn't like her anymore, because he said to kill Lee.
No, but then Lee made it clear. Like, no, he said that so he wouldn't.
Yeah,
he knew that Tetch wouldn't kill whoever he said.
But he doesn't like Mario believes her. Why would he?
But why is everyone getting past that logical fallacy of, oh, well, that's all stupid. Well, that's all stupid. Tetch is the problem.
Yeah.
We should move on.
Yeah.
You did what you had to do.
Yeah.
Say nothing next time, maybe. Yeah. Don't tell him to shoot my wife.
Yeah, but I think Mario's just overcome with jealousy. So whatever happens, he just doesn't want to let it go. Like, he's never been over the whole her and Jim thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just has it. And I don't think it doesn't really matter, because he went 0 to 100 really, really fast. I mean, yeah, his lady got shot, but he wanted this with Jim. Mm. You know, it's a man thing.
I guess.
You know
what I mean?
I got your lady. What's up? You know, it's a man thing, Steve.
It is a man thing.
Oh, you used to date my girl? Oh, okay. So I guess this is what it is. Let's fight to the death for some reason.
Let's fight for the death for some reason.
I mean, it
sounds like a man thing.
That is very testosterone.
That actually does sound like a testosterone man thing.
You know what? She loves me. Just in case, even though she said she loves me, let me beat you up anyway in front of her, just so I can feel good about myself. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, that was just one thing I've noticed for the past two episodes. Yeah,
I think that's what it was.
God willing, never will be in such a situation, but I would imagine in the aftermath of such a situation, it wouldn't be how dare Jim pick a side when a homicidal maniac makes him pick a side.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wow, that sucked for all three of them. I'm happy everyone's alive.
Yeah.
And let's move, but why did he say this? Why did he say that? I don't know. He's faced with a homicidal maniac. We should be upset with the homicidal maniac first. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no.
Maybe that says something about us as humans. That more often than not, I think the humans would react to the non-homicidal maniac.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Well, I mean, I think humans are innately selfish with their own their own needs. Aside from that, we also get pretty much the beginnings of the whole Penguin Nigma New Kringle Isabella love triangle. And I love this. I really like it.
I like this too. Where we ended today led me a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, I thought Cobblepot was just asexual, which he still can be.
Yeah.
But it seems more clear that it's like, no, I love you and I want
you. Yeah,
he wants you.
Him, yeah.
I love you and I want you versus I love you and I just want you to know I love you. Although that would be really anticlimactic if he's just like, no, I killed your girlfriend because I wanted to just be able to say I love you without it being weird.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't bother me that he's fully committed. That mm-hmm. they've gone and they've he could go both ways, Penguin.
Yeah,
but I mean, it wasn't the way he played the character, and he never really had the only woman he had interactions with was a fish, but it was still in a way where it always felt motherly.
Yeah,
you know, and it didn't. And when the whole love thing with him and Riddler happened, it fit.
It completely fits. I don't know. If he does turn out to just be a homosexual character, I like exactly how they're playing it, which is, no, I'm a homosexual.
Yeah.
No big.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's how they're going
to keep
it.
And that's how they played.
Yeah.
That's how they're playing these characters in this universe already, that I enjoy that, because we're right around that part in television and media where that's not a big deal.
Yeah. I think the only criticism it might have gotten, I say, from traditionalists of the comic book, were just like, was he? He wasn't gay in the comics, but he never had anything in the comics. He never had his sexual orientation was never discussed in general.
I mean, he had penguin hands in the comics.
I know. So it doesn't really matter.
Comics are very old.
You know? I think he used to mate with penguins in real life.
I did not read that issue.
Yeah, but it's just I thought it matches. And I like the fact that they're making him chase Riddler, and it's very clear that Riddler doesn't swing that way. But I'm glad they're not shying away from that, and mm-hmm. that they're showing that, and that him.
Well, and he's a character who, although he's been sympathetic the last couple of weeks, he's a ruthless sometimes killer when he to get what he wants.
Penguin or Riddler?
Penguin.
Yeah.
That the fact that Enigma might not be gay does not seem to equate.
And I like that.
Does not seem to equate into Cobblepot's plan of just like, nope, I don't care.
I'll make you mine. Because he's insane. He's not supposed to think logically.
Not at all.
Yeah. So I like that. I like that they're not trying to, you know, because I'm glad they're not going to go try and go too PC. I like, he's insane. He will try to force this guy to be his boyfriend. And I love that.
Mm.
He's crazy.
A couple shout outs for the chat. Alicia Malang, so happy the guy, so glad the guys are back in town.
Hey, I'm glad you're listening, mama.
That's so swaggy's in our chat. James Mirror Domains. That I should have caught that the first time. Gordon recognized Mario had to say his piece though.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that scene.
Yeah.
Because while we're pulling at that whole thread, I enjoyed that scene a lot, that it was just he punched him. He said his piece, he punched him and was like, what?
Yeah. So with Penguin and Enigma, let's just wrap that part up. I mean, until we really get into episode 8. So Penguin pretty much has set his goal to break them up, but she accepts him. And it's the first taste of her accepting him. We didn't realize how much she accepted him until like today's episode, but she accepts him and Penguin's like, okay, I guess this is I bit off a little bit more than I can chew. Mm-hmm. But this chick don't know who she's messing with because I'm the Riddler and I'm a Penguin and I'm insane. So, and then we round off with the Hatter. He tries to kill the Penguin and all of the main guys, all the big.
Well, the Founder's Dinner. Yeah,
the Founder's Dinner, and gets stopped by Barnes and then thrown in jail. And he sees that in Barnes' eyes, he sees Alice because he's going crazy.
Well, and his eyes turn green.
Was it they turned green?
Because Alice's eyes were green, so his
the
eyes.
Vein, man, wasn't,
well, the vein, effect. The veins too, but the eyes turn green, and that's the dead giveaway that he's in Alice mode. Hashtag Alice mode.
I know Alice mode.
That
right?
just happened. I didn't have to workshop that or nothing.
Any quick thoughts on Bruce having a nice little dinner date with Selena?
That's cute. I like that. And we saw from the previews for this week that next week we're kind of just picking that back up. Yeah. I like that this show leaves so much on the table that they can. We haven't seen Fish Mooney in like 3 weeks.
Good. I don't. I don't mean good that like I didn't.
No, but like. But
there's
like
just so much.
I like you just it. Leave so like Gotham is a city. The show. Yeah. The city is a character. The city's always been a character of this show, and then to have such a big ensemble cast that you can literally just like, yeah, the courthouse. We're gonna let you know about it. Episode 2, season 3, and like they'll come back. Maybe 5 times.
It feels like an anthology. It's almost like an anthology, right?
A little bit.
Like more and more things going on in the show, and in the city. With
and it's
multiple
definitely.
Characters.
People have been asking me about this show a lot recently because I think it's been getting a lot of buzz this season in particular, and they've been asking like, where do I start? What's it about? Like, what can I expect?
I say start season 2.
I tell them to start season 2. Like, they can start at season 2, or even just pick up a random week. And this show is not incredibly difficult to follow.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I guess, don't quote me on that. Everyone listening to my voice now, I'm sure has seen up till now or close to up till now.
I think every episode this season has been good enough that you still need to watch other episodes, but it's still good enough that you can follow it and it makes you want
to. And it's such an homage to like old cop shows too that I think there's a lot of simplicity where you can just like, nope, I get it.
We're in the era of the binge. If you watch one good episode, you're gonna be like, you know what, let me go back.
Yep.
But it's crazy. It's you gotta tread lightly on that. There you go. I was you gotta tread lightly on that, only because the difference between season 1 and season 2, it's really a chasm.
There is a definite chasm.
You know, season one, they were playing it really, really safe, and it was semi boring, and they weren't taking chances. Season 2 and this season, they're just like, you know what, guys, this is our show.
This strikes me as the show they've always wanted to do.
Yeah,
and that season one, they were playing it how they had to play it to get a season 2.
Yeah,
and once they got season 2, they were just like, fence, call it, bam.
Well, what I think it was, I think they were on the verge of being canceled because season 1 was. I mean, I didn't know anyone who liked season 1. You know, and then when season 2 started, I think if they kept going the way season 1 was going, that it was slow.
Yeah.
And when the way season 2 was going, they just said, listen, man, we got to put all our eggs.
It worked.
So, all right. Season, episode 8, Blood Rush.
Woo!
Season, episode 8, Blood Rush. So we'll start with, I guess, Jim and Barnes. Oh, this was crazy. So Barnes sees a peculiar man driving a van, and he follows him. And then he catches him. And it turns out he's just he's the cleaner.
Yeah,
and he's eliminating a dead body. But I didn't expect, like, my nails were going in my hands. I was in my skin because I didn't think Barnes like. He hulked out on him.
Yeah, and I like it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I like it too. But I didn't think he'd
literally
do
snapped
it.
Literally snapped someone's head off. No,
yeah,
this
he
was,
took his he decapitated him.
But with the editing and the sound design and everything was played so well in this scene, and to put Barnes in the position he is just perfect because
yeah, he
this is Mr.
So
Law
well,
and Order.
Man.
Like they always talk a lot. Because
yeah.
I always spoke a lot. Last season, since we've seen Barnes, that I'm like, there's a shady past.
Mm-hmm.
No one's that clean. There's a shady past, and what we're learning is like, no, he's a Boy Scout. He's a literal Boy Scout, true moral north.
Mm-hmm.
Arrest the guy. Let the system handle it.
I know.
Except this week,
when I real quick call back to when I said I met the guy, I brought up to him and I said, you know, we were betting on if you were going to die soon because you're not the kind of. Like, you're a big actor.
Were you honest with him?
Yeah, I said, we thought you were going to die.
Whoa. Y'all thought he was good. I was the only one who was like, he will always wind up in the hospital. He will always get shot.
Yeah.
Barnes will never die. I said doctor. Yeah. I meant captain.
I was two drinks in, though. I wasn't, you know what I mean? Those drinks were strong. So, but I was two drinks in, and I was telling him, they're like, hey, we didn't think you'd... I mean, I thought, like, you're just going to be... I was shocked that you're even on the show, because I thought you... I didn't know if you were a mainstay, if you were a guest or what, and to see that you've made it this far. And he was like, there was always a plan for it to be more.
Ooh.
And now you're going to see it.
Ooh.
And that's when he said...
It's clear.
Yeah, he said when he came, they had a big plan to that it was going to... that it's going to get crazier and crazier.
And the big plan seems to have been mm-hmm. make him the Law and Order... Like, pretty much seems to be going into play right now. That, like... Establish him as just the like 100% by the book cop.
Well, I think it was a setup in a way because Jim was the first one to do that.
Yeah,
and then he accepts Jim back, and he was so judgmental towards Jim. And I mean, of course, he has drugs in him, so that's why he's doing it. But now he's going to become like a worse version.
Yeah.
Of Jim.
Well, to be fair, this whole the first episode of this show dealt with that what happens if you're a rookie cop and you're a by the book rookie cop. And by the end of the show, it's literally he's meeting Falcone and framing a murder and, like, doing a lot of dumb stuff.
That's
and, like,
true.
But, like, that was how we dealt with Jim Gordon. And the idea was Nathaniel Barnes came up through a time where you could be by the book and chose to be by the book. And now he's the captain. And he's just this by-the-book warhorse. And it got to a point where all of us were like, well, I mean, when does that shoe drop? Whose pocket is he in? Yeah. That it got to a point of like, nope, he's just a guy who's by the book, middle of the, like, captain. So he's, like, middle management in that power structure and just drinks.
Yeah.
Drinks. Things get bad and he drinks. He's like, man, that sucks. That sucks. We'll get him again.
And then, yeah. And then so Barnes decapitates the guy. And they find the body. No, wait, they didn't get to the current crime scene yet. So he decapitates the guy, and then we go. I guess we go to Lee real fast, and she's setting up the wedding with Mario, and Mario. She tells Mario that Jim is coming to work. Jim's coming to work, and you know Mario. You can see the trepidation, like we were talking about before. You can see the trepidation, but he's like, "Hey, I trust you, baby. I trust you." We know he don't trust him. Then we go to Jim. Jim makes it back to work. Jim's first day back, and they go right to the crime scene.
I like this a lot. Let's just crisscross. The whole way up.
Yep. He shows up to the... and they find the mutilated body.
You were having a tough time with all this.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I was in shock that Barnes did it. Because I didn't think he'd do it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I didn't. Because, like, I knew it was going through him. Like, the venom was making him go insane. But I didn't think... He would go, like, he mauled his face, then tore, he decapitated the guy. That was tough. And then you saw the body parts. It was tough. I mean, this show gets, you don't
no, expect
this
is got gruesome. This is,
this show gets really gruesome.
It was like soup's gruesome for 8 p.m.
Yeah. It's really gruesome.
That's all I had, soups. Guys, soups is not cool anymore because I just said it.
Jeez.
Shut it down. I can shut down words.
It's over. Soups. So then Jim shows up, and then, you know, they go over the crime scene, and Barnes, while they're doing this, Barnes goes to see the Hatter to see if he can get some info, because Barnes probably can't live with himself right now. He's really dealing with it tough. And the Hatter just toys with him.
Mm.
And he knows, he's like, I know you've done something you regret because you came to see me. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Tell me. And, you know, Barnes doesn't tell him everything. And then the Hatter just tells him, you're going to die. The only way to get rid of it is if you die or if you just give in to it. Right? That's essentially what he said.
Yeah, give in to her is what he said. Because the blood is her.
And Barnes vows not to. He vows to make it right. Right? And then Jim, while this is going on, Jim has his first awkward interaction with Lee. And, you know, they talk about the engagement. And then she just, you know, they just talk about the crime. And they talk about the crime. I love their little interactions. Hmm. It's crazy.
No, it's very crazy. Like, I'll just bring it up now. Do we think they're getting back together? Well, that's a two-part question. Do we think Mario is evil?
No, he's going to turn evil.
He's going to turn evil.
Yeah.
I could buy that.
I think they're going to do something they regret. Like, while she's still with Mario, she's going to sleep with Jim. Mario's going to find out, and that's going to be the, I'm taking over the Falcone name.
Oh.
He has the face. He has rage.
No, he definitely has the rage.
He has some rage in him.
The rage face.
I could see him trying to be a baby Falcone. I mean, that'd work.
Hashtag baby Falcone.
Hashtag baby Falcone. So Jim and Barnes struggling with the virus, he tells Bullock what happened. You know, and then he refuses to, like, I like how they seem, you just see the voices, now they're creeping in Barnes' head. And he pretty much takes over the case, I guess, to cover his own tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of loses it on Jim. Like, hey, I make the rules. You're back. I still make the rules. And now his goal is to find out where Toad is, the name that was given to him.
Hmm. That's a fitting name once we met the guy.
Yeah.
Definitely a Toad face.
He did look like a Toad. Did you think he looked like, I didn't think he looked like a Toad, actually.
He had some lips going.
I thought he was going to be a little more, sheepish and scared. He looked like a bruiser. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, it was about his face. It wasn't about him. Him, if you're like a mid-level underworld guy.
Oh, yeah, is that how it works in Gotham?
Man, you gotta be...
You gotta be somewhat tough?
It's like a step above... It's anarchy, but like two dials towards democracy is what Gotham is.
Touché. So then Barnes shows up to a shady bar, and speaking of said guy, he interacts with Toad. And then beats the dog crap out of him. Beats him like he stole something from him. Beats him like... No. He proceeds to beat the crap out of him and breaks the glass, almost carves up his face.
This scene was awesome.
But see, and I, this is why I think they with the murder that Barnes committed in the beginning, I feel like they set up this scene well, because of what he did in the beginning. I thought he was gonna peel the skin off his face like a bottle cap.
I mean, it's still 8 p.m.
I don't think it'd make that much. I don't think it'd make that noise. I think it'd be more like squish.
Yeah,
but you know what I mean.
It would definitely be a little.
Would be a little worse. But he gets answers and he tells him where to go. But he almost kills him, and he puts him in his trunk.
Puts him in his trunk. Takes him to this doctor.
Yes.
I would like to see a webisode about this doctor who, like, sells faces.
I actually think...
Does he do the kidnapping? That's what I'm curious about.
I think... I don't know.
I really wonder, does that doctor do the kidnapping?
I'm guessing high-end individuals go to him, and then they probably... The person's probably kidnapped. And then give it to him after...
Do you think the Toad does the kidnapping and the cleaning?
No,
I feel like he'd have to be. No, that's a full service.
Yeah.
If
it's pricey, it's
Dr. Simon, if you survived that fall,
yeah,
I will jump into my TV, and I will take down Toad, who's probably still in Barnes's trunk. To be fair, I'll be full service.
Yeah,
I will do both the kidnapping and the body aciding.
Yeah,
full service, because you seem to have lost all your vendors.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Gotham. It's cool.
Yeah, that's how it works.
It's TV. It's also cool. I can just do that.
Yeah.
No, I would hope Toad would be full service.
Yeah. So That's probably what it was. And then he proceeded. They didn't get too much into it, but they do get into Barnes beating the dog crap out of him. And I love it. I love how every time he meets these villains, this is why I was enjoying Barnes a lot this episode. Every time he meets these bad guys, they're always so cool and collected because he's a cop. Every single time. They're just like, hey, you can't touch me. And then you always see, I like seeing that twinge of fear change once they realize, oh, this guy doesn't give a damn. And then he just beats the crap out of them. He just beats, but... And, you know, and then it ends with you thinking he's going to do the same thing to the surgeon. He's going to kill him. He's going to murk him. Get rid of him.
I did enjoy that they didn't make it so by the numbers.
What do you mean?
That, like, at the beginning of the episode, he rages out and kills somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Then he makes it into the bar, rages out, almost kills somebody.
Yeah, they set the tone.
Then that somebody leads him to a pretty big fish of a criminal, rages out, ultimately arrests him.
Yeah.
Like, that he doesn't fully turn until the very end of the episode.
You can see him, he's fighting it, you know?
But that we kind of start where we begin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Start where we end.
Yeah, and but where he kind of ends somewhere different. Because the way he feels after the second kill is a lot different than the way he feels after the first
kill. Well, no, because he gives in.
Yeah.
He's given in that, nope, I have a superpower now.
Yeah, essentially.
Like, I just have a power, I'm going to use it for how I feel within my ideology, although his ideology changed, and it's been made very clear through exposition that all the rats in the second test, by the end of it, there was nothing left of who the rats were.
Yeah.
In the test, which, hashtag Gotham rats.
Yeah, so, Barnes ends up bringing in the surgeon, because it hasn't taken over him yet. And he says he doesn't connect him to Pauly Penny's, the guy he ended up killing at the beginning, but he kind of leaves an indication as if he's going to turn himself in later.
That's kind of what we went for. We also saw his will last week.
Yeah.
We saw, like, he prepared his will last week.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he did prepare his will.
It's very clear that, like, he's in his mind, like, okay, this is forcing me to go against all my ideologies. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to turn myself in. I'm going to have to stop being.
It was like it was setting up his suicide.
Well, that scene with the gun, I think we were both thinking it.
Yeah, I thought that's what was going to happen.
Where we're like, oh, wow.
But that's on the
also, Barnes has a tiny gun compared to the rest of him. I wonder if he has a smaller gun or he's just such a mess. I think it's a combination of both to just make him look like...
He just uses what's there. Whatever shoots, baby. Big, small, bullets hurt. It don't matter. Big, small... I liked how the writers did a good job of showing, like, the dichotomy of where everyone's going. Because they really made it look like he would rather kill himself than go off the deep end. So the ending was a really big, big payoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we then cut quickly to the engagement party.
Very quickly.
Quickly, they have the nice little corny speeches, little upper echelon, like, I told her this, and then she denied me, but she's the one for me.
Oh,
it was very, very white bread.
Cats are clearly men.
Yeah, I didn't, like, cats are girls and dogs are men?
I think it's, the argument is... It's
dogs
a weird.
Dogs are more like guys, and cats are more like girls.
Which isn't even true. But they're both species. They both have male and female as a species.
Yeah,
but I mean, cats are
in terms
clearly
of their demeanor.
Well, cats are clearly more like men.
Yeah,
they're like emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, they do their own thing.
People fawn over them.
Yeah, like yes,
they
I
expect
deserve everything.
But they expect people to fawn over them.
Dogs are appreciative.
There's a comedian who does this way better that I'm just kind of paraphrasing. There's a comedian who does a really good cats versus dogs. Cats are men, dogs are women. But anyway. I don't know if that's real interesting, but they've also not known each other for very long and they're already having an engagement party.
I know, right? So yeah, that right there should have told them they weren't made for each
and
other.
And she's a doctor cop.
Yeah.
I'd never really heard that said out loud. I'm like, wow, she is a doctor cop.
Oh, they said a doctor cop?
Well, no, he said that she's a doctor and she works for the GCPD. And I'm like, doctor cop.
Doctor cop.
Hashtag doctor cop.
Barnes meets, while at this party, Barnes meets, first, Lee meets Barbara.
Oh, this was awesome.
Yeah, Barbara hijacks her way in with one of her many dates, and asks Lee, "How does she like? Is she really over Jim? And does she miss the rage? You know what I mean? The light and dark of him."
I just do want to say this must have been high honor for not necessarily Lee, but Lee's engagement party. Mm-hmm. That it would have to have been one of the top three parties that night for Barbara to show up. Like, I'm just going to speak for Barbara. Barbara does not show up to weak parties.
I mean, it was Falcone.
I heard Falcone throw some weak parties.
No, I'm just saying,
I heard they're not all great. Like, I hear
Falcone, that used to be his city.
Some of them were real weak.
Like, he was a big dog on campus.
Yeah. I went to a poker tournament he hosted once. Not great. Hot dogs, hamburgers, nothing special.
Yeah, I like their little back and forth. But speaking of Falcone then meets Barnes. We have a lot of interactions with individuals who have nice little back and forth.
It was a nice little party scene. Yeah. Nice little just like a town hall party scene, like get everyone mixing in with everybody else.
Yeah. Barnes sees Falcone and, you know, he has his little holier than thou talk with him, like, you're bad, I'm good.
This was real interesting because Barnes at that moment sipping that drink, I guess he had come to terms with his personal ideology so much that he's like, I'm going to come to this party. I'm going to come to this party out of respect for Lee, and I'm probably going to turn myself in like tomorrow or the next day.
Yeah.
So like that speech, he was still completely emboldened with that speech to Falcone that he was like, no, these are my personal ideologies. Mm-hmm. I believe in them so much that I slipped and I'm going to own up to it. And I'm like, that's...
Until he turns around.
Well, yeah. Until he turns around and sees...
the surgeon.
And I think it was also that he did one bad thing, so he was trying to, like, make up for it by doing, like, three good things. And then he was going to turn himself in and be like, I don't deserve this anymore.
Yeah.
It was incredibly true to his current ideology if he wasn't chemically altered.
Yeah. Yeah, so he sees a surgeon, and while he sees a surgeon, he follows him. And at the same time, Jim shows up to the engagement party because he knows the surgeon's there too. Because the surgeon, I forgot to say, got let go. And apparently he got let go, and the first thing he decides to do is go to an engagement party.
Why not? Well, I have a feeling if you're... And it was Judge Bam Bam, who we've yet to meet.
Yeah.
Judge Bam Bam issued it immediately, and we learned that Judge Bam... We've always known Judge Bam Bam's a dirty judge. So it's led to assume that he's connected in the high end of the underworld, or the Gotham elite, if you will. So it's a mat. It's
if you will, yeah.
That it would be definitely. He's definitely connected in that sense. That going to jail for a minute is probably just a minor inconvenience to a guy like him. Even if the cop roughs him up,
yeah.
Which is funny. I figured with all that pull, he would then get Barnes fired, which wouldn't really matter because Barnes would step down the next day.
Yeah. Well, that's not what happened. Jim shows up, and then he kind of gets called out by Mario, and Mario wants to have a talk with him because he's not happy he's at the engagement party. They have a little one-on-one, and now he threatens Jim. He tells Jim, don't touch my girl, or if you hurt her, I'm going to kill you. And then he gives him one. He gives him a quick right hook, and he hits him good. Mm. He socked him. For a doctor, he has a good right hook.
Great point in the chat, actually. That's so swaggy and... L-A-Y-D-I Diaz, lady. It's probably Lady Diaz.
Okay.
Lady? I don't
know. L-A-I-D-I?
L-A-Y-D-I. Lady? That would be...
just lady. We'll go with lady.
L-E-Y. We're gonna talk spelling for at least 4 minutes.
Don't stress.
No, Jim will make him evil. Jim makes everyone evil. And then somebody above that said Gotham makes villains. That's how Swaggy says again that Gotham makes... Gotham tends to make villains, but like a lot of people Jim Gordon encounters tend to become villains.
Yeah, like Batman.
And then Baby Falcone,
yeah. So that's probably what's going to happen to Falcone. I'll just say that's my prediction now. Falcone hits him with the right hook, and Jim lets him go. He says, you owe me that. I'll let you slide. See, because Jim, he's a man. He understands. He's like, and what am I going to do, beat you up?
Because he could.
Yeah, I mean,
let's be real. What? Jim could.
I don't know. We've never seen Falcone fight. He could have been trained in the elite arts.
Of mob fighting?
Of mix. I don't know.
Falcone Sr. wasn't really like a fighter either.
Yeah,
like
but he grew up with money. He could have been taking MMA classes. You know, all these cats with money. Like, he looks like he's in shape.
Jim Gordon's a scrappy dude.
Yeah, true.
He's also a cop. Like, Bullock is also, like, there.
Yeah. So, all right, so he punches him, and in the meantime, so then they go back to trying to look for the surgeon. In the meantime, Barnes finds him in the bathroom and just, let's just get right to it, proceeds to beat the dog crap out of him and hulks out and throws him through the wall. Like, I thought he was just going to slam him. He throws him through the wall to his death on the outside.
I love that it, in my heart of hearts, I thought that this was going to happen in the middle of the party. No one would stop him.
Yeah.
And then Falcone just walks over and just says something. Says something real. Guess we're even now. I guess we're the same person now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I would have loved something like that. And we're probably still going to get that in the next 2 weeks where Falcone gets to be smug of just... Because I actually love Falcone's ideology this entire run of Gotham. Because he strikes me as one of the few people who knows about the Court of Owls.
Mm-hmm.
That he's like, I'm just somebody trying to carve out my slice of the pie and make things best for me and mine. And once I reach that level, I'm going to try my best to make things not terrible for everyone else. But now he's retired.
Yeah. Yeah. But he chose not to.
Well, then my analysis of the socio-political climate of Gotham slowed us all slowed us down completely.
Yeah, well... That didn't happen. Instead, I want him to kill him in front of everybody too. But yeah, I thought that would have been. I thought that was what was going to happen. But instead, he kills him.
Well, but here's the.
And he was so secretive about it.
But I think what would happen. I think part of him owning it, if you will, or letting it affect him, would be at the beginning of the episode. He shows up just doing cop things. Well, actually, he wasn't on duty. But if you're a cop, you're a cop. Shows up and then just gets into a rage and like tears somebody's head off.
Don't you find it crazy? That no one's walking into the bathroom and is like, yo, there's a hole in the wall.
Rich people don't.
They
rich
don't care, people, right? Rich like, people. Oh, look at the decor.
Rich people don't use the bathroom.
Oh yeah,
they
walk around with what's
they just catheters.
Yeah, they just walk around.
Rich
with
people.
Catheters.
That's all the rage among the Gotham elite is just catheters.
The catheters.
But I will. Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
All right, so Jim then sees Barnes and Barnes. Like we said before, the exact opposite of how he was after his first jump into murder. He's completely calm, calculated. He's completely let the darkness go over him. And he's like, he does a quick, nice little shout out. I don't know if that was done on purpose. He has a nice little Judge Dredd moment.
Yep.
Where he's like, I am the law. I'm the judge. And then he pauses. Then jury executioner. Yeah. But I was like, and now he's fully, he's the executioner now. Like, he's that guy.
Yeah. It's necessary for this.
For him, he feels that way. And he tells Jim that we're gonna clean this city up. And then apparently he didn't kill the surgeon good enough, because as soon as Jim goes outside, he sees
says Barnes, and it sets up this perfect showdown.
I know.
This perfect Gordon-Barnes showdown that at the pace of this show will happen all within next week.
I know.
Does
this mean Barnes won't make it through the season?
That's a prediction, and we still have one more topic.
Okay, you're right. don't watch yourself now. We ain't there yet. All right, so, all right.
Let's get into
this is my favorite part of the... This was my favorite part of the this week's episodes. So, Nygma, the love triangle. Nygma, Kringle / Isabella, and...
That butler.
And Penguin.
Wait, not the dude who cut her brakes. I thought they felt something. Okay, I was reading too much into it.
I like how Nygma has, how he knows how to smooze now. Like he's got a lady. He's making her breakfast. And she's going to a librarian conference, which sounds all the way.
That sounds
fun.
Made up. That I sounds know. Completely made
that
up.
That isn't. There aren't no librarian conferences, are there?
That's. I should have Googled it. By
I know.
Now.
There's no way it's a librarian conference. And she wears Kringle's glasses, and it sets him off. Well, I mean, his handshake. But she sees it. I love how she sees everything. And there, you can't... like it's not like with Kringle, when she found out who he really was, she freaked out. He killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Isabella finds out who she really is. She freaks out, digests it, understands it, and is like, I love you too. Maybe I'm crazy. And this, I think...
Is, Did you want them to date, like, for a week before any of this happened? Like, I understand it's Gotham and things move.
Nah, move fast. Let's go.
Things move fast. Where it's just like they met, they talked all night, they're in love.
Because remember how mad we were when they got rid of Kringle?
We were so mad.
We were upset. And now, when I found out, when I saw her come back, I'm so happy. Like, him and Kringle were so good together. And we kind of thought, didn't we? We used to think that they were going to turn into a duo like that.
That would be so cool.
But that's what we thought. Remember, that was our initial, we felt like they lost an opportunity in making them like a kind of like, not a Bonnie and Clyde, but a crazy duo, like him turning her crazy with him.
Yeah.
And then them being crazy together. And then her dying and something like that.
And then we kind of got that with Isabel because Isabel was clearly crazy.
You think the writers are watching us? You think the writers are watching us? The writers?
That might happen.
Think that?
Huh? But Isabel is clearly crazy. I had some nitpicks with this.
Okay.
First off, it's the same actress.
Yeah.
And it's Gotham, so we're immediately like, says they're clone. Mm-hmm. We're immediately like, is it a clone? This happened the same episode as the plastic surgeon who's literally taking faces.
And you did jump on that.
That I was like, is this really like Court of Owls or something?
Yeah.
To mess with Nigma, created a second Kringle, and then drugged it. That seemed too much work, so that's not it. But you bring the actress back for, I guess, 3 weeks to kill her again?
Well, we don't know if she's dead.
I mean, she got hit by a train.
No, there's no way. Well, I mean, it depends on what they do. Because as we did see in this scene, he does talk to Kringle through hallucinations. And he is prone to hallucinations.
No, they're bringing that actress back a lot.
Yeah, so if she doesn't make it as Isabella, she can
come back as Kringle.
As Kringle. But I hope not yet.
Or there's
killing her. Yo.
Or there's like seven Kringles in Gotham. They just keep bringing her back as another one. Like that.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be crazy. Also, quick note. To any of you who are in Isabella's situation and your brakes don't work and you're heading towards
a
train.
Turn the damn car.
No, you speed up. You beat the train. She was headed downhill.
The thing was already down.
The thing's built to break.
Yeah, but she didn't know how close the train was because on
what else is
on both sides there were mountains. There was a...
Let me rephrase. The second you realize your brakes don't work... Try something else.
I mean,
if you think you can slam into the mountain to the right and it'll stop your car, do that. If you think you can outspeed the train in front of you, do that.
Or jump out.
She didn't do that either.
I know. She just said, oh dear. But we don't know. But we don't
she
know
was
if
on
she
the train.
Out.
The train was coming from the driver's side. Jump out wouldn't have been smart.
Well, we'll find out. I bet you she jumped out.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram @BHLOnline. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.
What else do we have? We have so many.
So the Penguin shows up to do this to Isabella and he like relishes it. He's like, it's done, mama. You done. Hit the bricks. He's my man now. And Isabella, at first, she's hit by it, and then she's just like, no, I love him. Our love is great. Like, she's full on. She names everything Nigma's going through. It's like, he thinks he's going to kill me because I look like Kringle, but I accept that. I don't care. I love him. Holy hell.
I feel like she could have figured that out in that scene.
Which scene?
The scene where she put on the glasses and he just, like, bugged out. I'm like...
I'm not saying that, but it's just the fact that she's accepted. It's not the fact that she figured it out, but
you've
she's
known
accepting.
Him like 30. I mean, you've known him like 30 hours. How much else could you possibly know about him other than that he killed his girlfriend?
And she's down.
And that you look like his girlfriend.
Yeah. And then she refuses. And she says she understands him and she stays. And he is pissed. But, you know, this shows you how good of friends he is with
And then she dresses up like Kringle.
Yes.
And that's creepy.
So
she's into some weird stuff.
I know. That's why it's beautiful. She a freak. For a freak, though. A freak for a freak. Riddler shows up to try and break up with her, and she comes out dressed exactly like Kringle. Damn. And then she makes him choke her. And then they get nasty. Wasn't that a great scene?
Because
I didn't think Riddler had it in him. Like, Riddler just like, now he's a man now.
I thought he was going to choke her.
I know.
I thought we were just going to relive that whole thing.
No, that would have been corny. I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah.
He kisses her, and then they just probably have insane homicidal.
You were about to say
it. No, I was about to say homicidal. Insane homicidal intercourse.
Homicidal, then, suicidal, death-defying.
Yeah.
Genocidal sex.
Yeah, fornicating. You know what I mean? Everywhere, all over the riddles. I wonder if they're like saying riddles.
Wasn't that her house? Did they move in already? She was at his house.
Whose house are they at?
I think that was her house. No, because he lives at the mayor's mansion.
Well, that riddle was getting solved that night.
No, that's her house because he lives at the mayor's mansion because that's where they dropped him off after he got out of Arkham.
Okay.
Also, within this timeline, he's been out of Arkham like 2 weeks. He's living this.
Out of Arkham, got a brand new girlfriend that looks like his dead girlfriend, and she accepts him for being crazy, and they have crazy sex.
Enigma is living his best life.
He's on fire right now.
In this moment.
So, I was going to say something, but I'm going to wait. So he tells Penguin. Penguin is pissed. And then Penguin pretty much indicates that his guy comes in saying that, you know, you did the thing for me, and he clips the wire. He clips her brakes. And then we see her drive towards the train, and she says, oh, dear. And then we just cut away. I'm thinking... Actually, I'm not going to say anything. I'll wait for it. Anything else you want to say?
No, I think we're ready for the...
Predictions!
For the things.
There you go.
And when you raise your hand. You're after Buzz TV.
Come.
Predictions.
Come to me, predictions. Let me go first, because it's been so long since I've been here with my lovely panel on this damn after show. Okay. First thing first, speaking of Enigma and Penguin, I'm going to say that I don't think she's dead.
Okay.
I think she's going to live. But I do think he will kill her.
Okay.
Just not today. He's going to get her.
Mm.
Riddler's going to find out, and then we're going to have then they're going to become rivals. And I am very excited for a potential Riddler-Penguin feud. Riddler branches off, starts his own crime syndicate. And then he goes against Penguin.
I think that's better fueled if she's dead and he finds out.
Yeah, and he'll kill her down the line. Kringle yet. Don't kill, Isabella yet. Not again.
I'm going to take the opposing view.
Oh, here we go.
I think she dead.
Okay.
I think she dead. They're going to keep bringing the actress back in flashbacks. And if they really want to do it, you have fair license to just recast that actress.
Ugh.
She's what name have they not used in a while? Amy. She's Amy something now.
It would be interesting if what you said before.
She works at a bookstore.
How they have multiple clones. If it's every time she dies, a new clone comes. That would be kind of crazy. And it'd be the Court of Owls doing it. That would be insane.
The Court of Owls through Doctor Strange.
Yeah. That would be insane.
That they just keep every.
I mean, they got a couple of Bruce Waynes.
What else you got?
So, okay, it could be that. I don't think so. I think she's alive. I hope so. Next week. And she's not going to tell Riddler, but she's going to know a Cobblepot set her up to die, and she's going to go out of war with Cobblepot, and she's going to try and eradicate Cobblepot from Riddler's life.
Interesting. I think she did. Yeah. What else? But like everywhere else, we're going to see the Cat Bat.
Oh, the cat.
What was it? We're going to see the Cat Bat Ivy.
Yeah. I have nothing on that.
Okay.
I mean, they're just giving them something to do. It's good.
Well, we're gonna,
I'm still
clone. Clone Bruce is still out there.
I'm still waiting for them to grow up.
It's gonna be Barnes Gordon. I'm just gonna predict. I think Barnes Gordon.
You think next week's Barnes' last episode?
I don't think it's his last episode. I think he goes to jail. Maybe he goes to Arkham, and then you can just kind of bring him out.
Yeah,
of Arkham.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I also think he's gonna get shot real bad and live, because that's the Barnes I know. The man will not die.
That's the Barnes I know. He don't die.
What do we think about the Penguin Court of Owls situation? Are they going to let him run that city? Because they run that city.
Well, in episode 7, Red Queen, they indicated that they're watching him.
Yeah. They're watching him. She feels that he's always going to be a criminal. In a tone that leads me to believe that they want the mayor to not be a criminal.
They might. Are you thinking? I was thinking that maybe she might want to bring him into the fold, but he might not be able to be held on a leash.
That's what she mean. That
yeah, that what she meant. Okay.
I think they're gonna. I think Nygma finding out that Isabella was killed by Penguin will happen right at the same time that Penguin gets brought into the fold for the Court of Owls. So now Penguin, who this entire series has been like trying to grab power everywhere he could, finally realizes he was a rat in a maze. Mm. And the Court of Owls ultimately runs everything.
Yeah.
And then Nygma comes and tries to get that power. And that it'll be, I loved you. I loved you. How could you do this to me? How could you do this to her? I'm going to take everything you hold dear. And then Nygma's like, I got nothing. The power I thought I have, I don't even have.
Hmm. All right.
And that'll be an interesting saga. Lee's not going to get married. Baby Falcone's going to
take over
the mantle.
Yep.
And then he's going to try. He might become mayor by this summer. I think that's going to be my wild speculation.
I'm thinking this season. Sorry, did I cut you off? Were you about to say something?
I'm just going to say that Mario Falcone is going to become mayor by the end of this season.
Okay. All right. Interesting. This is subject to change, but I'm leaning toward, because there's a whole hell of a lot of season to go. But let me not say by the end of the season, because I keep judging this show like other shows. When I say by the end of the season, next thing you know, it happens by episode 13.
That happens a lot.
I'm predicting Falcone takes over, Mario takes over, Riddler breaks off from Penguin, and Penguin has his like mini mob. So those three will be separate, but all going at each other.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I also think Baby Bruce is going to leave the show
and come back older.
I don't want him to. I just think it would make more sense if Bruce Wayne left Gotham at a certain point.
Yeah, but I like the kid actor.
If he left the show for a couple episodes and like trained at the same dojo that Alfred trained at,
yeah.
Like I'd be okay with it. Like I just want to go to Taiwan and like train where you trained. I'm assuming Alfred trained in Taiwan. I don't know why my mind went there.
But they should bring back the same actor. Before I wanted them to bring back an older actor, but I like this kid. I think he's a good Bruce Wayne. He looks like him, and I like the way he acts. He's a good actor. Mm. No, I think all the kids.
No,
are good
I like him great.
Good. Yeah,
I want him to come back in season four, like ready to take back his city, his birthright.
Yeah,
as a descendant of the founding families.
I want that too.
That he was complaining about Selina Kyle standing him up. He stood up the founding families.
That's true.
He had to have been invited to that dinner.
That's true. But he had a hot date. A hot middle school date.
A hot late date.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to add
on to that? No, I think we wrap that up.
All right. Well, guys, that is it. We're back. Thanks for having us. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michael Drew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL. Steve?
You guys find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. My Harry Potter improv team is playing the Perky Nerd in Burbank this Sunday, the 14th. I'll retweet the link. I'm gonna pin the link. Tickets are still available now. Get them while they're still available.
Yes. Oh, also youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Like us, subscribe, share. iTunes, same thing. Holler at your boy. See y'all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.